Hello, and welcome to Post-Meridian Radio Pod No. 1. I'm Neil Marsh, Managing Director of the Post-Meridian Radio Players. We begin our foray into the world of drama podcasting with the first of three parts from our 2007 live Halloween show, Tomes of Terror 2. Today's episode features an introduction to the evening's performances by our mysterious host, the Librarian, followed by our first production. In keeping with annual tradition, we opened the show this year with a recreation of a classic old-time radio comedy, the 1949 Halloween episode of Our Miss Brooks, written by Al Lewis. And no, that's not Grandpa Munster, it's a different guy. It may seem odd to feature a situation comedy in a show entitled Tomes of Terror, but we decided early on that we should take advantage of our broad talent pool, as well as provide something for the whole family to enjoy. Which indeed they did. Many folks, especially from the older set, came up after the show and thanked us for bringing back fond memories of Miss Brooks, Mr. Conklin, Walter Stretch, Mr. Boynton, and their shenanigans at Madison High. So now, let us venture into the dark passages and groaning stacks of The Library, that repository of all stories too terrifying for the public ear. Your host, the Librarian, will be with you shortly.
Say that silence is golden, you know, but in this library, silence is very necessary. We are not your typical book-lending institution filled with sunny reading nooks and bright, cheerful stories. For one, I don't think these dank and musty halls have seen sunlight in eons. And as for the stories, well, the books I care for here are not your ordinary books. The stories inside them contain unspeakable horrors, terrifying characters, and in some cases pretty awful poetry. But who am I to judge? The books and grimoires in these stacks have been sequestered here in this mystical tomb of tomes for quite a good reason. They are kept far from the peering of mortal eyes, lest the darkness inside them corrupt a curious bibliophile or two or three or 101¾. I'm not quite sure all of you are all there. Over the centuries, most of these books have become resigned to their fate and now sleep soundly in their carefully cataloged stacks. But if you make enough noise, they might just wake up. And when and if they do, they'll want to share their stories with you. They'll insist upon it. Why, I recall a similar group of visitors simply appearing in my library just about this time last year. It was long enough after the autumnal equinox that the darkness had begun to overtake the light. And that is when the more truly horrifying stories want to come to life. You know, cross-quarter days and all that sort of thing. And so they did, right in front of my visitors. What became of them? I have no idea. After the stories had been told, they simply vanished, and I saw neither hide nor hair of them again, though some of you do look rather familiar. But we have no time to ruminate upon that now. The elements are all in place. The time of year is the same. Your appearance before me is the same, and once more I fear that should the books know you're here, they'll awaken. Creeping card catalogues, I was right. Listen now as the radio plucks the sounds of the books from the ether, delivering to all of us a chilling, horrifying tale of frightful...
And stay tuned for a special Halloween treat, a new comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks on most of these stations.
Comedy. Comedy? Situation comedies are never frightful. Frightfully dull, perhaps, but... No, I think the books are giving us a trick, making us laugh and putting us at ease, lest we flee too soon from the frights ahead. Oh, or maybe this is the time of year when the brooks, not the books, come to life. No, that can't be it. It's too horrible a pun. Let us delve into the compendium of knowledge for a little research. Ah, yes, here we are. Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden as a sardonic English teacher at a typical American high school, beloved yet beleaguered by her students, berated by the irate Principal Conklin, and bedazzled by a charming science teacher by the name of Boynton. Miss Brooks's adventures were a popular staple of both radio and television in the 1940s and 50s. And it looks as if this episode is, appropriately enough, all about a Halloween party. So now, the Post-Meridian radio players present Al Lewis's... No, not that Al Lewis. Read your program. Halloween party episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks, written by Al Lewis. Many of us find it extremely difficult to get up early every morning, but our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, has been doing it for years.
Yes, and I've learned one thing about early rising that's helped me immeasurably. Once I jump out of bed, close the window, and do my setting up exercises, there's only one more thing I want to do, and that's to get right back in bed again. That Friday morning, though, I was up and almost dressed by the time my landlady knocked on the door.
Time to get up, Connie.
I am up, Mrs. Davis. Come on in. I'm trying to get to school early so I can chat with Mr. Boynton for a few minutes before our first class.
Is Mr. Boynton still as unapproachable as ever, Connie?
I guess so, Mrs. Davis. But you know something? During this past week, I've gotten closer to him than ever before.
Really, dear? How did you do that?
I've been wearing my sneakers to school. I hope I've got time for breakfast before Walter Denton comes to pick me up. There's something he wants to talk to me about before school starts.
Well, he can talk to you at breakfast, Connie. My goodness, you've got to keep your strength up somehow. We both know you don't get enough sleep.
Well, I didn't last night. Minerva slept in here with me, and she was very restless.
Oh, I don't know what's the matter with that cat lately. Between you and me, Connie, I think she's got something.
Between you and me, I think she's got several.
Maybe it's a mistake to let her get so friendly with that collie next door. They play together all the time, you know.
Oh, so that's the source, hmm? Minerva had me up half the night with her pounding.
Oh, That's just her tail beating on the floor while she's hunting.
No, I don't mind her tail thumping so much. But every time she catches something with one paw, she applauds with the other three.
Suppose we join Minervy in the breakfast nook. I've just given her some milk.
Fine, I'll have a saucer full, too.
Sit right down, dear. I'll boil you a couple of eggs.
Oh, just one egg will be plenty, Mrs. Davis.
Well, that must be Walter Denton right now.
Just six eggs will be plenty, Mrs. Davis. The door isn't locked. Come in, Walter.
Hiya, Miss Brooks. Mrs. Davis.
Hello, Walter.
How do you want your eggs, Walter?
Quickly, please.
Haven't you had any breakfast yet?
Oh, sure. But it's 7:30 almost, and we eat an awful early breakfast at my place.
How early?
6:45.
I don't know how you're still standing up.
I'll whip up an omelet for all of us.
Miss Brooks, I'd like to ask you about something.
What's that, Walter?
Well, as you know, Halloween is usually celebrated tomorrow night, Saturday. But Harriet Conklin's going up to her folks' bungalow at Crystal Lake for the weekend, so we wondered if it would be all right with you if we celebrated the holiday tonight.
Well, why come to me? Shouldn't you contact the Goblins Union?
We wanted to sort of have a little party. You know, Harriet and my pal Stretch Snodgrass and I, and we were planning on inviting you, too.
No? And where were you planning on holding this party, Walter?
At your place.
How nice of you to invite me along. But I'm afraid we couldn't have any Halloween parties here, Walter. After all, I don't own this cottage. I just rent a room from Mrs. Davis.
Oh, we've already got her permission. She's going to the movies tonight. Harriet asked her on the phone yesterday. It's just up to you, Miss Brooks.
Well, I'm afraid I'm not interested in Halloween parties, Walter. I have quite a bit of work to catch up on, and tonight looks like an ideal time to do it. Sorry, but you'll have to hold your party someplace else.
Gee, Miss Brooks. Harriet and Stretch will be awfully disappointed. And so will Mr. Boynton.
Mr. Boynton?
Yeah. I was talking to him yesterday, and he was saying what swell fun he always thought Halloween was when he was a kid. And then we invited him to the party, too, and he accepted. And now there's no place to have the party.
Well, what's wrong with having the party right here?
Hello, principal's office. Osgood Conklin himself speaking.
Hello, Osgood. It's me, Martha.
We've been married 18 years, woman. I know your name.
Please, dear, do try not to be so testy. Do you realize that you left home this morning without even saying goodbye?
Well, that's easily remedied. Goodbye.
Wait, Osgood, I've just called to remind you about your doctor's appointment this morning. He said he wanted to see you before we go to Crystal Lake tomorrow.
I'm well aware of that fact. I've had plenty of time to think about it during the sleepless hours I spent listening to your dog thumping his tail at the foot of our bed all night.
But Prince was so lonesome, dear. After all, we've got each other. He's all alone.
Well, he wasn't alone last night. Never heard such scratching in all my born days. What's he got, anyway?
But he can't possibly have anything, dear. You know he doesn't play with other dogs. In fact, he would have died of loneliness last week if I hadn't taken him over to Mrs. Davis's to play with her cat Minerva.
Well, you've got to keep him away from me. My blood pressure's higher than it's been in years. And to make my morning complete, when I bent down to tie my shoelaces, my glasses fell off.
Did they break?
Not until I straightened up and stepped on them.
Well, darling, a couple of days at Crystal Lake will make a new man of you. Now, go down to the doctor's and get a nice sedative to take with you.
Very well, Martha. It's a good thing I have an extra pair of glasses with me, or else I couldn't find my way to the door.
Now, whatever you do, all's good. Don't break those.
Thank you, my dear. I think that's sterling advice. Goodbye. It's later than I thought. I'd better hurry.
so you see, Walter, we all meet in the cafeteria at lunchtime. We can make the...
Miss Brooks, I presume.
Oh, I am terribly sorry, Mr. Conklin. I didn't see you coming. Oh, dear, I seem to have broken your glasses. Do you have another pair?
No, Miss Brooks, I haven't. But perhaps I could get you a long stick and let you smash the windows in my office!
You seem to be in quite a hurry, Mr. Conklin. Can I maybe take you somewhere?
Who's speaking?
It's me, Walter Denton. Your daughter Harriet's dreamboat.
My daughter Harriet's... I'll talk to you later, Miss Brooks. Denton, pick up that shattered glass.
Yes, sir. But what should I do with it, Mr. Conklin?
Eat it, you lame brain dunks!
Gee, Mr. Conklin sure is in a bad mood today. He looks pretty purple, doesn't he?
Even for him, he certainly is excitable.
Hi, Walter. Oh, hello, Miss Brooks.
Hi.
Hello, Harriet.
Did you run into Daddy yet this morning?
It's in the hands of the insurance company now.
His temper's pretty miserable today.
Yes, I know. Poor Daddy. He's been depressed all week long. I don't know what it is. We all try to please him.
What he needs is some recreation and diversion. Say, I have an idea.
What is it, Miss Brooks?
Well, instead of my place tonight, why don't we have our Halloween party at your house, Harriet? That way we could surprise your father and cheer him up a little bit.
Wonderful!
Miss Brooks, you've done it again.
Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, will continue in just a moment. But first, now there's proof that brushing teeth right after eating with Colgate Dental Cream helps stop tooth decay before it starts. Continuous research, hundreds of case histories, make this the most conclusive proof in all dentrifice research on tooth decay. Eminent dental authorities studied hundreds of college men and women for over 2 years. One group always brushed their teeth with Colgate right after eating. The other follow their usual dental care. The groups using Colgate Dental Cream, as directed, using Colgate exclusively, showed a startling reduction in the average number of cavities and far less tooth decay. The other group developed cavities at a much higher rate. No other dentrifice offers proof of these results. Modern research shows that decay is caused by mouth acids, which are at their worst right after eating. Brushing teeth with Colgate, as directed, helps remove acids before they harm enamel. Yes, Colgate has all the necessary ingredients, including an exclusive patented ingredient for effective daily dental care. So remember, always use Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay. And now, we return to Our Miss Brooks.
Anxious as I was to get back into Mr. Conklin's good graces, I was determined to make the Halloween party Friday night a roaring success. I had asked the kids to meet me in the school cafeteria at lunchtime, and the first one to show up was Madison star athlete Stretch Snodgrass. Although a whiz on the football field, Stretch's outstanding scholastic achievement occurred during a test last week, when he spelled his name correctly. I was having a cup of coffee when he approached my table.
Here I am, Miss Brooks. Mind if I sit down?
Not at all, Stretch, but wouldn't you like to bring some food over before we discuss the party?
Oh, no, ma'am. I already ate.
Please, Stretch. I've already eaten.
Oh, good. Then we can get right down to business. Walter said we ought to masquerade as something tonight.
That's a fine idea, Stretch. You could come as a student.
I got my outfit all set, Miss Brooks. I got some chaps at home and spurs and 2 six-shooters that shoot real blanks. I'm coming as Hopalong Cassidy. That is, if nobody minds.
Why should anybody mind unless Roy Rogers shows up?
What are you going to masquerade as, Miss Brooks?
No, I haven't made my mind up yet, Stretch. Of course, every good Halloween party should have a witch. Yes, I might come as a witch.
Perfect.
Don't sound so enthusiastic. It's pretty short notice to get a costume made, and I may not be able...
Why go to all that trouble? Why don't you wear what you got on?
Big as he is, I'll have to slug him. Now, look, Stretch, I...
Hi, Miss Brooks. Stretch, Well, things are sure shaping up. Look at these swell noisemakers I bought this morning.
Where'd you find time to get all this junk, Walter?
I sneaked out of one of my morning classes.
Walter, you didn't.
Well, it was important, Miss Brooks. Besides, there's no harm done. Nobody even noticed I was gone.
That's what I like, a nice, observant teacher.
Well, it wasn't the teacher's fault. You were facing the blackboard at the time. Look at this horn. It's got a siren in the mouthpiece. Listen.
Please, Walter, you're in the cafeteria.
So what?
One more blast like that, and the beef stew will pull over to the right.
Oh, stew.
Now, tell me, how are you going to masquerade?
Oh, I got a terrific idea, Miss Brooks. I'm just going to put on an old sheet. Do you think Mr. Conklin will get a kick out of me as a ghost?
If he thought it was on the level, it'd add 10 years to his life.
What are you coming as, Miss Brooks?
No, I haven't quite decided yet. Any suggestions?
Well, just one. I don't want you to think I'm being fresh or anything, but this is going to be a Halloween party, and, well, I'd be glad to furnish you with a broom.
I guess I'm a natural for it.
Look who's coming over.
Oh, it's Mr. Boynton. Hello, Mr. Boynton.
Hello, Walter.
Hello, Mr. Boynton.
Hello, Stretch. Hello, Miss Brooks.
Hello, Mr. Boynton. Goodbye, Walter. Goodbye, Stretch.
We ain't going nowhere.
Stretch, don't you know the old expression, two's company, three's a crowd?
Sure I do, but there's four of us.
Come on, Stretch. We've got to help Harriet figure out a costume for tonight. I'll see you later, Coach.
Yeah, see you later, Coach.
So long, boys. Well, Miss Brooks, I think it's a splendid idea you're giving this little surprise party for our principal tonight. It should do him a world of good.
It should do us a world of good, too, if he brightens up a bit. What kind of an outfit do you think you'll wear, Mr. Boynton?
Well, I've got a skeleton costume at home that I used to have quite a bit of fun with in my college days. It's just a black, tight-fitting garment with a bunch of bones hanging on it.
Bones?
Yes. They're treated with a phosphorescent paint that makes them glow in the dark. It's quite a startling effect, the more so since I gathered the bones when I was an anatomy student.
From anyone I know?
I don't mean to dwell on it, Miss Brooks, but I find bones a rather fascinating subject. Don't you?
That depends on what they're wrapped up in.
How are you masquerading tonight?
Oh, I don't know. If you're coming as a skeleton, maybe I'll come as a bottle of vitamins. I'm really a little stumped, Mr. Boynton. What do you think I should be?
Well, the two most popular figures associated with Halloween are a black cat and a witch.
And I'm much too tall to be a cat. Walter! Oh, Walter!
Yes, Miss Brooks?
Get a tune-up on that broom, boy! Constance Brooks rides tonight!
Glad we're going away in the morning, Martha. Dr. Benson told me I'm very close to the breaking point.
Yes, of course, Osgood.
Don't shout so. Oh. He said that some of my trouble was caused by my blood pressure, but that part of it was due to an overactive imagination. He wants me to be calm, relax more. I'd like to see him relax with that recurring dream I've had.
You mean the one where the ghost visits you at night?
Yes. Only the last couple of times it's gotten much worse. Instead of a plain ghost, I've been getting one with Walter Denton's head on it.
Really, Osgood, I just don't know what you've got against that poor boy. Harriet's very fond of him.
And she should see a doctor, too. Where is she, Martha?
She's in her room, dear, getting dressed. She said something about a party tonight.
Parties. All kids nowadays think about parties. Well, there won't be any parties at Crystal Lake. There won't be any nightmares either. Why, Martha, do you realize that while I was sitting in the doctor's office today, I saw a bulldog by his desk?
A bulldog?
It was just the shadow of his umbrella stand, but I almost jumped out of my skin before he explained it to me.
things like that happen to people every day, Osgood.
Not to me, they don't. At least, they better not. How do you think the Board of Education would like it if they thought that one of their principals went around seeing bulldogs?
Just don't mention it to anyone. Now, I'm going to get you a glass of warm milk, and you stay right comfy in your chair until I get back.
Very well. Yes, that thing looked like a bulldog. Martha's right, though. I'd better not mention it to a soul. Who in the world could that be? Coming!
Good evening, Mr. Conklin. May I come in?
There's no tactful way I can refuse you admission. Come in, Miss Brooks.
Have the others arrived yet?
Others? What others?
You'll see when they get here. Is Harriet at home?
Yes, she's putting on her party dress.
Oh, then you know about it. It should do you a lot of good, Mr. Conklin. There's nothing like a house full of people to get your mind off yourself.
A house full of... Miss Brooks, is this party to be given in this house?
Of course.
I see. Then, if you'll excuse me, I'll just take my hat and coat and beat an orderly retreat.
But, Mr. Conklin...
My doctor has forbidden any excitement whatsoever.
Your doctor? Well, this is a fine time to tell me. I mean, I didn't know you were in such bad shape, Mr. Conklin.
I'm on the verge of a nervous collapse, Miss Brooks. I don't want to spoil everybody's party. I'll just leave quietly.
Leave? But, Mr. Conklin, where will you go?
What's the difference where I go? I'll just... wander around the park like a homeless gypsy.
You can't do that. You wouldn't look good in earrings. You're not a well man, Mr. Conklin. Look, Mrs. Davis is going to the movies tonight. Now, why don't you let me drive you over to our place until I can eliminate the horde of guests who are coming here. You'll love it over there, Mr. Conklin. You'll be able to relax completely.
If it will stave off my breakdown, Miss Brooks, it's the least I can do for my family.
Miss Brooks left right after dinner, Mr. Boynton. I guess she forgot to buy a few items for the party tonight. I'm sure she'll be right back.
Fine. Swell. This way our surprise will work out even better.
Surprise?
Yes, ma'am. We thought we'd try some of our Halloween tricks on Miss Brooks before we go to Mr. Conklin's house.
That's a wonderful idea.
I hope I didn't scare you in my ghost outfit.
No, I thought you was the laundryman.
How do you like my costume, Mrs. Davis?
Oh, my, you've lost weight, haven't you?
This is a skeleton suit in honor of Halloween.
Oh, isn't that terrifying? Oh, and who's this cowboy with you?
I'm Hopalong Cassidy, Mrs. Davis.
But I'm really Stretch Snodgrass.
I'd never have known... Well, if you'll all go into the house, I'm sure Miss Brooks will be delighted to see you. I've got to get down to the theater now.
Oh, what movie are you seeing, Mrs. Davis?
Jolson Sings Again, Again.
Again, again?
Mm-hmm. I saw it last week also. Have a nice time, children.
What should I do with this bucket of water we're dunking for apples in, Walter?
Oh, just put it down by the piano, Stretch. Now, I'll tell you what we'll do. Before Miss Brooks comes back, let's all hide somewheres so we can really surprise her.
Good idea, Walter. Now, why don't you get behind that couch? Stretch, you hide behind the kitchen door, and I'll get into the hall closet.
Great, and we'll all come out when I blow this whistle. Okay?
Got you, Walter. Hey, look, out the window. Miss Brooks is coming up the walk, and she's got Mr. Conklin with her.
Mr. Conklin? Oh, she probably wanted to get him out of the way while we were getting things ready at his place.
So much the better! We'll surprise both of them at the same time! First, I'll put the lights out. Quick, let's get out of sight!
Well, here we are, Mr. Conklin. I guess Mrs. Davis has left for the movies. The lights are all out.
Well, it does seem quite deserted in here.
I'll turn on this hall light so you can see to hang your things up in the closet. And I'll turn some lights on in the living room while you put your hat and coat away.
Thank you, Miss Brooks.
Miss Brooks!
What is it, Mr. Conklin? What's the trouble?
Your closet. In the hall.
What do you keep in there?
Just my coat, Mr. Conklin.
I see. Tell me, Miss Brooks, is it a long black coat with luminous bones?
Luminous bones? Oh, no! Please wait right here, Mr. Conklin. I'll investigate.
It's me, Miss Brooks. You should have seen Mr. Conklin's face when he
opened... Get behind those other coats immediately, Mr. Boynton!
But Miss Brooks...
I cannot explain right now, but don't you dare come out of there until you get a signal!
Well, Miss Brooks, what did you see?
See? I didn't see anything, Mr. Conklin. It must have been your imagination.
My imagination? Then the doctor was right.
What's that, Mr. Conklin?
I'd rather not talk about it, Miss Brooks. If I could just lie down somewhere.
Of course, Mr. Conklin. Just lie down on this couch. I'll go get another cushion for you.
All right. Oh, that's better. Ooh. Ooh. I must be quite a sick man. Ooh. If I wasn't sick, I wouldn't be moaning like this. Ooh. Ooh. On the other hand, if I just try... Ooh. What am I saying? I'm not the one who's moaning!
I've reached...
Where are you?
Look behind you. Behind the couch.
Behind the... Asleep?
Asleep?
Yes.
You just hit the couch, Mr. Conklin. Which reminds me, maybe you better see a good psychiatrist. This screaming of yours could lead to something dangerous.
Just do me a favor, Miss Brooks. Look behind the couch.
Certainly, sir, if it'll make you feel any better. But I assure you there is absolutely nothing behind this couch! I'm sorry if I startled you, Mr. Conklin, but... My cat Minerva's back there.
With a sheet?
She was making her bed. Stay out of sight, Minerva. That's a good girl.
If you don't mind, Miss Brooks, I'd like to take a couple of pills my doctor prescribed. May I have some water, please?
Certainly, sir. If you've got an extra pill or two, I'd be happy to join you. You stay right here, Mr. Conklin. I'll go into the kitchen and get you some water. No, on second thought, you'd better come with me. I don't want you to get nervous again.
Yes, I think you're right, Miss Brooks. It doesn't do for me to be alone lately.
Now, where's that light switch?
Well, dog, my cats, if it ain't roundup time.
What was that?
What was what?
Miss Brooks. Do you mean to tell me I've actually taken leave of my senses?
It isn't a real leave, Mr. Conklin. You're just on a weekend pass. Oh, lots of people get temporary hallucinations. Maybe we'd better go back to your house.
Yes. Yes, at a time like this, I suppose I should be near my loved ones.
Happy Halloween, Mr. Conklin. Look, it's me.
Denton! What did you... How did you... What's this?
It's just my coat coming over. Get back into the closet.
It's me, Mr. Conklin. I'm a skeleton, see?
Look at me, Mr. Conklin. I'm Hopalong Cassidy, and I'll plug the first hombre that makes a move.
Snodgrass. Stop that! I must control myself.
What's wrong, Mr. Conklin? You don't seem to be enjoying yourself.
Yeah, you act all jumpy and funny. Gosh, Miss Brooks went to a lot of trouble to get this thing organized.
Walter, please!
Oh, Miss Brooks organized it, did she?
Sure, she planned the whole thing.
She deserves every bit of credit.
Well, she's certainly going to get it. Miss Brooks! Miss Brooks! Miss Brooks! Oh, Miss Brooks, get your head out of that bucket. This is no time to be ducking for apples.
Who's ducking for apples? I'm trying to drown myself.
Eve Arden as our Miss Brooks returns in just a moment. But first, tonight, yes, tonight, show him how much lovelier your hair can look after a Luster Cream shampoo. Luster Cream, the world's finest shampoo. No other shampoo in the world gives hair the same lustrous blend of secret ingredients, plus gentle lanolin. Not a soap, not a liquid. Luster Cream shampoo leaves hair three ways lovelier. Fragrantly clean, free of loose dandruff, and glistening with sheen, soft and manageable. Even in the hardest water, Luster Cream lathers instantly. No special rinse needed after a Luster Cream shampoo. So gentle, Luster Cream is good even for children's hair. Tonight, yes, tonight, try Luster Cream shampoo. And now, once again, here is our Miss Brooks.
Well, Mr. Conklin was so glad to find out that the things he thought had been happening to him... had been happening to him, that he excused us all and hurried home. Shortly afterwards, I excused Walter and Stretch, which left just Mr. Boynton, the parlor sofa, and me.
Well, here we are, Miss Brooks. You know, with that lamplight shining on your hair, you're absolutely, well...
Yes, Mr. Boynton.
You? Yoo-hoo! Fall!
What's that?
Look at the window. It's Mrs. Davis with a pumpkin head.
Just what I needed.
Happy Halloween, Connie! Trick or treat!
I've got a trick, Mrs. Davis. Here's 60 cents. Treat yourself to Jolson Sings again, again, again.
Listen to Mr. and Mrs. North Tuesday evenings over most of these same stations. And be with us again next week at this same time for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Well, now... A comedy that ends in an attempted suicide. Sounds like my kind of show. Perhaps I should listen to more episodes sometime. Well, undoubtedly your sides have split with so much mirth that you will need a moment to sew yourselves back together. While you go find needle and thread, I'll head back into the stacks to retrieve another book for you. Just don't ask me for the needle. It's Halloween time. There ought to be a haystack around somewhere. I shall return shortly.
And that's it for part one of our live Halloween trilogy, Tomes of Terror 2. The next episode of the Post-Meridian Radio Pod will feature our second play of the evening, an adaptation of J. Sheridan Le Fanu's vampire chiller, Carmilla. Thanks for downloading our first show. This is Neil Marsh, signing off for the PMR Pod. Episode number one of the Post-Meridian Radio Pod, Our Miss Brooks Halloween Party, featured Ari Herbstman as the announcer, Juliet Bowler as Miss Brooks, Alyssa Osiecki as Mrs. Davis, Matt McGurvin as Walter Denton, Neil E. Graham as Mr. Conklin, Marley Norton as Mrs. Conklin, Mindy Klenoff as Harriet Conklin, Christian Sterling as Stretch Snodgrass, and Michael Simon as Mr. Boynton. Mayor Freed, Jennifer Shea, and Andy Stabler were the Foley effects artists. Our Miss Brooks was directed by Rob Noyes with production assistance from Heidi Clark. The technical production team for Tomes of Terror 2 featured engineering and sound design by Neil Marsh, musical arrangement and accompaniment by Jessica Rain, lighting and onstage electronics by Stephanie Shanda, and Foley effects coordination by Shauna Francis. The Librarian was created and written for by Rob Noyes and was played by the mysterious Rennie Boy. The Tomes of Terror theme and transitional music were composed by Kevin Hartnell. The administrative producer for Tomes of Terror 2 was Renee Johnson. This episode of the Post-Meridian Radio Pod was written and produced by Neil Marsh. This has been a Hub of the Universe Productions podcast.